Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Today I'm smoking Tangerine Dream, named for its zesty citrus flavors and creative buzz.
And I'm smoking the Indica Dominant, is anybody surprised, Pound Cake, known for its hints of nutty lemon with a high that's meant to help with focus. We'll see about that. We sit down with Mary Pryor, co-founder of Canoclusive and CMO of Tonic CBD.
We continue to navigate this new reality as we discuss conspiracy theories, lack of respect for life in this country, and what this administration is doing to help the U.S. thrive. Hint, absolutely nothing. All right, T, light it up.
We are very excited to have Mary Pryor, Chief Marketing Officer of Tonic CBD and co-founder of Canoclusive, joining us on the pod today.
Hey, guys.
I'm like really super, super excited to have you here.
We are. We're kind of like little, we're like little fangirls.
We've actually we've been fangirls of you since Broccoli Mags in Bloom Festival.
Oh, thanks. That's when I was telling the white people what was going up. Yeah.
I know. That's one of the reasons why I love you so much.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to be just like her.
Well, it's not pretty in all the time, but I'm glad you guys are healthier in Cali. Right?
Yes, we're in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're in New York.
I'm here, unfortunately. Y'all are almost like going to be walking around.
Yeah, they said phase two should start, I think, like in the next couple of weeks. Right now, we're still in shelter in place till the end of May. But I've definitely seen more people out and about, I feel like, in the last couple of weeks. You know, the first, like in... Now I'm trying to think how much, like March, April was like, I really didn't see that many people out. But when I take my dog for a walk, I see so many people outside walking, running. I'm like, where the fuck did all these people come from? Because I never seen them before when I would go on like my regular walks, you know?
Coming out of the woodwork.
Which I get, they're all stuck at, they're all home now, you know, so.
I think that, you know, we are approaching like, you know, levels where like, yo, like, we're not made as human beings to be cooped up.
Right.
I know some people are cool with it, you know. I've had to deal with being in an anxiety of fight or flight for a minute off and on. So I'm kind of like, yeah, you guys are now anxious. Yeah, welcome to the anxiety party. But I do think that it's a normal response to want to be like, yo, I'm going outside.
Right.
So I don't fault anybody for that. I do fault people for not doing the precautions. I fault people who are trying to use 5G conspiracy theories and there's no 5G towers in the U.S. You know, I fault that a little bit for sure. I fault insensitive people. I'm not mad how anyone is showing off that they're coping through it, whether it's in their pool or on their boat or in their house eating Funyuns. Like, if that's what you're doing... That's what you're doing, but I just want you to be doing something at the same time to lift up your best self.
Right,
so
right.
For me, I work out every day. Sometimes I work out twice a day.
Yeah, working out really helps.
Yeah, I started a garden on my roof and on my back fire escape.
Oh, cool.
I have patio furniture on my roof. On top of that, I started cleaning my whole entire brownstone for $400 off my rent. I have emailed every major software company and I have discounts of everything till July or August. So, you know, I'm very, and you know, Tonic, like that's a big priority to keep things moving there. And now, you know, CBD and THC and all forms of cannabis are being seen as the actual medicine that it is. So that's the good thing that people can think about. And for those who are fans of the medicine that cannabis is. But we're going to be here for a while, guys. And I think it's time that we start having real conversations about how we have to accept that and what we need to do to operate in this new normal and to get rid of the idea that things are going back to normal and to accept that. And I think that that's the thing that freaks me out from people that I see who are expecting things to go back to normal when the reality is that it's impossible for things to go back to normal. And there are a lot of things that this new normal is about that we are now realizing is actually new normal. Like
right.
being surrounded by the thought that someone you may be 6 degrees to 1 degree connected to may not be alive in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And we have now normalized that that is what is happening. And we haven't memorialized a lot of those moments for us. So, you know, this new normal incorporates understanding our communication with grief and death, understanding our communication with ourselves. Because now
I think our communication with science as well.
Everything.
A lot of that's going out the window right now. I think you're right, Mary, in that right now, I think people, either they're not admitting that grief is hitting them yet, or they're not preparing. That's why I think people are like going out more. Like, as you said, we're kind of at like a certain breaking point where people need a little change right now.
And I feel like a lot of people that I see post, you know, stuff about these conspiracy theories or we need to open back up. And like, I saw something that really pissed me off the other day that likened it to like Nazi Germany saying like, oh, now I understand how the Nazis, you know, were able to win by tricking people into thinking the tyranny was looking out for their best interests. Like, please do not compare Nazi Germany and the Holocaust to having to wear a mask and stay inside your home. But I feel like
to protect your life.
Yeah, but a lot of people I see posting these things don't know anyone or haven't lost anyone who's been like directly affected
by COVID. But unfortunately, the reality is that they will.
Right.
I've now done a couple of things psychologically for that. One, I've decided that I'm a very black and white person when it comes to respecting transition. I used to be a death doula. I've lost my parents before I was 33. And I've always understood the needs of people that are disabled, handicapped, supporting the chronically ill. I have Crohn's. Most of my family had autoimmune illnesses or have beat cancer more than once, you know, stuff like that. So I have a very fine line between that, just period, off cuff. If you can't respect transition and honoring the ancestors, I just kind of have to fall back. And that's been a very, very hard line that I didn't know that I was going to fall more into. And now I've accepted that that is a part of my personality that I have to honor. And I do not negotiate with that. So if someone is going to be an asshole and talk about how they think microwaves are driving us to having a disease that comes out of nature. Or
disrespect of nature, really.
Right. Or, you know, like, man, like, no one here, like a lot of people all of a sudden got cousins that work at the CDC. That's capping. A lot of people also have a lot of family members that are doctors. No, you fuck you don't. I have 3 friends that are doctors. I have family members that have been affected by chronic illnesses. I have a brother that works at one of the major supply chain situations, and he has a risky, bulletproof yet job, given that that's now a thing, right? Made by one of these big corporate conglomerates, right?
So I think it just like the conspiracy theories they're shining a light on like a privilege that people are afforded right now. Like, as you say, like maybe they haven't, like their family members haven't passed from it. Perhaps they're in good situations. They live in like a nice community where health access is like readily available for them.
Right.
So it like shines a light on that, which is so annoying. And also like we've never had to fucking suffer as a generation. Like we don't want to give anything up.
Right.
We can buy anything we fucking want to buy, like on our phones. You know,
where are we going? I don't know why you're buying clothes. I don't know why anybody's buying clothes right now.
Any minor inconvenience. And this is like, you know, something we've never seen before. There's been no like, you know, breadline for Americans of our generation, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Well, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, and we're still spoiled. Like, we're ordering delivery. And right. I'm going to tell you right now, like, even though I'm doing delivery to support friends' businesses as much as possible. So shout out to Taranga in Harlem. Shout out to The Edge. Shout out to Serengeti Teas and Spices.
They sound like dope places that I all want to eat.
But
The Edge.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
Shout out to Boulevard. Shout out to Caribbean Soul. You know, a few places that are definitely Black owned and operated that need support. I just say that to say, we can order delivery from our fucking phone. We're spoiled.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're spoiled.
And then when you
that's considered an essential business. You get what I'm saying? Not the fact that I can't get glasses and I've been staring at these screens for 10 more hours a day.
Oh, I've been dying to go to the fucking optometrist.
I want to see an eye doctor.
I want to go to the dentist so bad.
We're, even though we're saying people are spoiled, we're still doing spoiled ass shit.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, I can't say nothing about nobody. If you are able, look, I'll tell you right now, if push came to shove, I wish I flew to Mexico. I wish I flew to Mexico City instead of staying here. I wish I made that choice.
Right.
And a lot of people were able to make those choices. A lot of people went to Canada. A lot of people went back to, went to places where they could deal with it less. And
now, see, your roommate, she was like, I'm going to Australia. Peace out.
Yeah, my neighbor, she's originally from Australia.
Neighbor.
She went back. And she said that when she first got there, she had a quarantine for 14 days. And the government put her up in like a 5-star hotel with like food and everything. And that made her feel much more comfortable to then go stay at her brother's house. And when she was leaving, I would be like, can you take me with you, please? Don't leave me here in America.
But I don't blame them.
Like, yeah.
What we're in. Like, we have a very interesting administration that I personally feel will be here another 4 years. So I don't want to be around for that. So everything that I'm doing right now is geared towards making sure that I'm out of here come November, period. And that's something that I can do given my favor and given what I'm doing to save as much money as possible, potentially, or move upstate. That's kind of like where I'm at.
Right.
But, you know, like, the farm is upstate with Tricola Farms and with Tonic. Cannabis and CBD are not going to go anywhere. Cannabis and hemp are pretty much here. It's going to become a commodity. So it's going to be even more like weird to operate within. But this administration is dangerous, man. And I don't really know if we're prepared to deal with a new normal during COVID within this administration. Like,
they're just not doing any job to even make it better, right? So the task force with Mike Pence on it, like the AIDS under his, like in his state went up under him because he wanted to reject the shared needle program for people with HIV for clean needles to reduce the spread. Like, he was in charge of a state that a disease spiked under him. He has no fucking business being on this task force.
Right.
No business. And now they're going to dissolve it. So it was basically just a show. Well, what are they? They've done nothing.
Well, apparently the day after Trump said that they were going to dissolve it, he said that they're going to keep it. So you never fucking know what these people
are. I think that's the other thing that's
like, is so anxiety ridden. Like, right now, it's like, aside from like this global pandemic, you know, knowing the administration that's dealing with it, and then seeing how, you know, your family members or your neighbors aren't really taking it seriously, like all of that piled on top of each other has just like put me sometimes in this like really intense state of anxiety, like where yesterday I almost had a panic attack for like the first time in like a really long time. I think too, just like, it's also kind of getting to me, like just being by myself, you know, and knowing that it's like another month and really realizing that things aren't going to change for a really long time, also based off people not adhering to these, you know, shelter in place. Like, all the people I see complaining about it, I want to be like, why are you complaining? You've been out of your fucking house this whole entire time.
Right.
You haven't stayed at all. Like, shut up. It's just, I don't know. It's just really disappointing. It's just disappointing to see that people, or a majority of people, don't care. So it's like, aside from fearing like the administration, I fear a lot of people in this country. And
I think it's a majority. I feel like,
I don't know if it's a majority, but I think it's enough. And I think,
well, it's definitely enough. It's definitely enough.
You know, and like, it just makes me like so anxious. And
it's funny because I was talking with our friend Nick. He's been on the pod before as well. And we were talking about Corona, and I was saying how I don't think we respect life anymore. Like, this is the problem, whether it's from the bats, like in the wet market, from mm-hmm. the senior citizens dying at alarming rates in homes, right? Like there's a lack of respect for life that is, we're missing, you know?
But and we've never respected life.
Right. But I think it's amplified now.
Yeah. As a country, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right now there's a couple of things that are interesting. Now we have this narrative. And I'll say this, you know, you can use data to tell any story. You can use data to manipulate anything, right? But now we have this narrative where you're talking about people that are dying, and now there's this extra eye on Black people and how we've been dealing with health inequality before COVID, mm-hmm. And the institution of the war on drugs, and over criminalization and brutality and all these things that make up the health and the psychological well-being of people that are marginalized and melanated in most cases, to now be like, look at these people, they can't take care of themselves. They're sick all the time, and they're the reason why this is an issue. Mm. Or we have the thing where we're completely making it known that we don't give a fuck about old people, right? So
that shit is so wild to me.
That's wild, right?
Just like to see people like go on TV and just basically say like, no, I don't care. Like it'd be one thing if they were actually taking like, I mean, it'd still be disgusting, taking their own grandparent and sacrificing them. But you're rolling the dice for all of us. And more than likely, your grandparents are going to stay the fuck inside. And you guys aren't going to be out here. You just want people to go back to work for you.
Right.
But the thing is that there's nothing to go back to. You're not going to get 50 million jobs back.
Right.
No,
you're not.
Right.
But we, you know, but like explaining economics to someone who thinks that they're getting all their information from YouTube it's hard, because we've let social media and we've let video become a thing where, you know, everybody is an authority. And even right. though they should really be told to shut the fuck up. So that's something that we have to face as we idolize information and how it looks. Not if it's factual or not.
Too true.
Or how it makes us feel. Not if it's factual or not. And a lot of facts may not make you feel good. Even the way that we have to talk about how facts make us feel. Like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror saying damn to myself, like, yo, you got to deal with some shit. So that's not cute, but it's a fact that I have to utilize in order to grow through this situation. You know, I'm in isolation. I am hanging out virtually with people. I'm doing what I can, but like, hey, we're going to be here for a while. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to figuring out how strong I can get, but still be vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm not having a good day. I'm tired of grieving. I've been grieving for 3 weeks. I am having a hard time with my vision. I don't like being in front of these screens. My head, I want to be able to share that and also say, here's what I did for myself today.
Right.
I meditated. At least I tried. I want us to make space for that. We are making space for either you need to act like you're fucking killing it and you're just like opening an LLC with your $1,200 or...
No, that check's gone. Right? it's just a memory now.
You know, or you're like feeling like people can't make space for both. You can both be right and wrong. You can both realize that you've been playing a Chris Brown song and he's a piece of shit. Like, we need to be able to idolize and understand that we are living in a duality that we've always lived in. But we also need to realize what our morals are. And I'm discovering more about my morals. My morals are, if you can't respect the dead, I'm not fucking with you.
Right.
And that's for somebody else, it's not that big of a deal, and that's okay. But for me, it's a big deal. So I can't deal with conspiracy theories. I've known people that have lost people that they've loved one day or the other. There are people that I love that are no longer here. So that's my hard line, and I'm okay with that. But I think that it's more time to realize who your crew, who your soul group is.
Right.
Like, who is your soul group in this time? What does your soul gravitate to? Do you feel that you're gravitating more to being a messenger, a connector, a provider, a giver? Great. But how are you doing that for yourself first? You can't give from an empty cup. It has to be full. So I think that we are now trying to learn those things. That's what I want to make space for. I don't want to make space for talking about the things that I know are wrong and giving that my time.
Yeah.
I know conspiracy theories are wrong. Now I got to fucking deal with this shit? No, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. So not all conspiracy theories are wrong, by the way. And that's the funny thing about conspiracy theories.
Exactly. Because I tell myself that every time I get really fucking frustrated with these people. Because I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, I love the government so much. Everything they
right.
say. That's not me, clearly, if you listen to this podcast. You know that's not me. But it's just like, I have this one group of friends and they were sending all these conspiracy things. And I know it was really out of fear. You know, they were hyping each other up. And like, they're all commenting. And I just wrote, guys, period. They're like, what, T? I was like, calm down. You know, they're like saying like, oh, there's so many more. Like when Shelter in Place first started, talking about how there were so many more, they're seeing more military like trucks driving around and like, what is this? Like, but there was near basis. It's like, it's probably something you see all the time, but you're just more hyper aware of it because of what's going on. You know what I mean?
If there's no cars and the only cars you see are military cars, you're like, oh.
Yeah. And also it's like, it's already scary enough with the truth behind it. Like, why do we have to fucking like amp it up so much more with all these crazy conspiracy theories?
Right. As we talked about before, it's like social media, because all these facts are going in your head and all these different voices, and you're like, oh, and somebody could be lazy and just be like, oh, I'm confused. Let me just stick to what my intuition says is right, opposed to like looking things up and reading. And watching the news and watching Fauci speak.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people are really flippant with what they share, you know, and they don't realize like, you know, they don't maybe like there's some things that I share that's like just like a funny little meme or a saying, but I wouldn't share something that I thought was like a factual video without like watching the video and then like checking some other sources and making sure it was something, you know, but I just feel like sometimes people see like a headline or something that looks interesting or like resonates with them in some way. And they just click that share button. And but I think that's what's so dangerous, you know, and like, and there's so many things that people post and even what they say in the caption of what they're posting, I go and watch the video and I'm like, that's not even what it says in the video you posted. Like,
but that's because like we, you know, look, I think this is so crazy because I've worked in social media for so long before I got into like cannabis and digital strategy. And I thought the internet was great. And I used to really enjoy being on the internet. But yo, the internet has really fucked up the way that we understand and process information.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like that's why these screens, I'm over here like realizing, yo, did I forget something? Wait, why am I forgetting something? What the fuck? So there are things happening where I'm like, wait, I didn't have to put myself in front of this environment for a minute. And cannabis, if you were doing event marketing, you were moving around out and about traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Or if you worked from home, you would at least realize like, you know what, I'll work 6 hours, but let me go for a walk. Let me go, I can work on my phone in the park. Like, you know, something like that. All of that is like.
Yeah.
I miss being out and about at events with people, especially cannabis events.
Yeah, that's a wrap. I mean, if you looked at a couple of the things that Live Nation shared today with how they're trying to get back into their version, like they're trying to have literally no more than 229 people at an event or something like that. Have you seen this?
No, 229? Yeah,
like, so now these event companies are creating, they're like, we got to get these concerts back up and going planned. It's now become a thing. Like, 6 feet, they're now trying to create something where it's going to be 6 feet apart and prepackaged beer. There's somebody playing, some guy getting on stage to do a show in Arkansas on May 15th. Live Nation's implementing a number of guidelines for the show, so that available seats for fans are 6 feet apart during the show. Their shares are already down 49% since hitting an all-time high in February, and it's been one of the best performing industry events before this all happened. So like at this country music show, they will consist of between 2 and 12 seats, cutting the allowed attendance down to 229 fans, aka 20% of normal capacity. Attendees will need to wear masks, have the temperature checked at entry points. All prayers will need to be used to sanitize the venue. Bathrooms will be limited to 10 people at a time. Soap and paper towel dispensers will be touchless. And concession stand, food and beverages will need to be prepackaged and have lids.
Something tells me that the fans of this country concert in Arkansas are going to have a lot of patience for that. That's going to be some concerts are going to suck after this.
Which is me so interesting. I mean, like,
what's we're all 6 feet apart.
Right. And then like, what's the size of the venue? Is it
is it 229 every time? Like, it's just like, let's throw out a number.
It's very, yeah. Damn.
Oh, like, and how are, like, I'm imagining restaurants will operate at, like, you know,
most restaurants can't open again. What are you talking about?
Well, the ones that survive, they'll have to do like 20% capacity as well.
How many restaurants are going to survive?
It's a good 70%, right? 30% like, are facing closure.
The restaurants that were trying to survive, and they should have given their money back, but they gave their money back. So I'm looking at, like, I mean, every retailer pretty much has said, when we are able to reopen, we're liquidating. We're done. Mm. So, like, from, like, literally every, if you look at how retailers are, Neiman Marcus filed for bankruptcy. Warren Taylor said, when we reopen, we're liquidating. Like, people are going to reopen to pretty much liquidate.
Right.
Because they can't, it's a wrap. There's, like, for New York, there's no rent forgiveness. There's no rent cancellation.
That's so
people
fucking
are going
to
be expected, even if they're not paying rent right now, according to what's happening right now, to pay that back by, like, June and July. What are you paying back if you ain't got no job?
Right.
Yeah.
So are you going to have all these evictions going on? Are people going to be displaced? Because you already are not serving the current homeless that you have in this city. In
right.
New York, or in any city.
Yes.
Right? So think about that. You're even, with, I know in LA County, there's like a rent forgiveness going on.
Yeah, I paused. I just, yeah, it's, I paused for... May? No, April. And my landlord, it was actually nice. My landlord reached out to me about it, which I was kind of surprised about. And he's like, you know, you have these options. And then I have a year from when the pandemic ends to pay it back.
All right. So pay it back plus the rent, like.
Right.
How does that work?
Right.
So from what I understand, people don't have jobs. Unemployment's not being shelled out all the way to everybody. This country, these states don't have the money to do this. That's why they're slowly trying to reopen, because they're like, yo, get out there and work something. But it's all jobs that are of service to people. It's not jobs that are like, you know, you can work from home, but like people are like, yo, go get your hair done. Go get your nails done. go have, you know, like go to the gym. I'm not going to no goddamn gym.
Yeah, those would be like,
I'm terrified of the gym.
The last things I would do if it reopened
would be sweat next to somebody on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Right. I'm opening a beauty shop here. I got a steamer and a facial thing and a hair dryer.
Ooh, I should get a steamer.
I ordered the stuff that the manicure people use, like the drill and things. Ordered that.
See? I'm about to be here.
Wow, I forgot that I had a face
mister. I got
my
roof
well.
Situation.
The that roof situation.
So yeah.
I got my bike.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to do
a lot. What borough are you in, Mary?
Huh?
What borough are you in?
I'm in Harlem, USA, New York.
Got it.
You know. You know, I am totally down. I know how to cook. I'm totally fine with.
Yeah. The cooking part's not so bad. I just get tired. I miss being in restaurants with people.
But like you said, I can survive with the cooking. And
Tiana, you have some, you tell me about all the lit shit you make in that air fryer. You
oh my God, my air fryer is life. I make some delicious ass shit. I made these, it's really great. I love making, I mean, that part's good, but I miss making food for people. It's fun to make, you know, it's good to make food for myself, but like, I'd be like sending all these pictures of the food I make to people. Like, I can't wait till I can cook for you again. This is what I'm eating tonight.
I have done that as well.
We'll be socially distancing with our friends. Like,
yeah,
I do that sometimes. I'll have a friend go by. We'll go outside. We'll be wearing our stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see each other.
Right.
But like, am I going to give you a hug? I don't know.
No.
And my love languages are physical touch, acts of service, and words of affirmation. So like, you know, I'm glad that I can use two of those things, but physical touch is pretty high up there.
Yeah.
It's pretty high up there. It's like physical touch, words of affirmation. It's like a 15 rows down. But yeah, man.
I went for a social distance walk with my friend and we did that. I wanted to hug him so bad goodbye, but
yeah, it's weird when you see people because your natural instinct is like to go and you're like, oh, what? Oh,
yeah.
So good to see you. I wish I could feel you.
You can do the Oprah hug where you like hold your hands out and you go. It's like all of
the
us.
The Oprah hug.
Yeah, it's like all of us became Howie Mandel. He never touched.
Oh me. Yeah,
yeah.
See, he's like, I told y'all. I've been trying to tell y'all. Thought it was a joke. Ha ha. I don't like to touch people.
Howie Mandel, smiling and healthy. Day 85 of the quarantine.
Oh, shit.
But man. I do think we have to, you know, we got to take responsibility for our immune systems. We got to take responsibility for our health. This medical system is trash. So,
yeah.
That's the thing. Sorry, T.
No, I was like, that's the other thing I keep, you know, I get frustrated when people keep talking about like Sweden and like, I wish we should have just done what they done, herd immunity and blah, blah, blah.
No,
blah.
No.
How we have done that? We don't have.
Exactly. It's like, first of all, like, I blocked them. So.
That's what you got
to
do.
You know, when you start to type, like, no.
No.
Or someone like comments on something that you don't even know. It's like your aunt's random friend. Like, I'm not going to get in a fight with somebody like. Then like I don't, and then I what? Next thing I know, my aunt's gonna get on it. I'm gonna be fighting her too. I'm like, just block, just and be blessed. Leave me alone. I mean,
What are some things that you're discovering about yourself? Ooh, let's get deep.
Yeah, what have I really been discovering about myself? I guess I always thought like I was introvert, and. Being away from people for so long has made me realize that that's probably not true. Like, I definitely like to have my time to like recharge. It's not like I was a busybody going out all the time, but I really miss the option of being with like people that really like make me happy. You know, like I miss laughing with people and making people feel good, you know, just by being together. And I realize that's something that like really excites me. So that's what I think about. I miss about, you know, cannabis events or just field marketing in general when I was doing it. And it's been a while, even prior to quarantine, when I was first laid off in like November. So I feel like I had like a pre-quarantine.
Right.
You know? So I've just had like a lot of time to like kind of sit and think about, you know, what's going on. But I've also, I think, because of the anxiety that I know I've been having, been trying to kind of block some of those thoughts because I'm already anxious enough with kind of what's going on in the world and with, you know, thinking about my family who are in like Texas and Arizona and seeing what those states are doing, that just becomes overwhelming. So it's definitely something now, Sam and I were talking about this yesterday. I feel like this is like Q2 of quarantine for me. You know, like I'm not in sweats all the time like I was. I've been trying to make it more, it helps that it's hotter now. So.
Yeah.
I have to change different outfits. I can't rotate the same sweats, but just trying to be more mindful and like focus more on myself. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have a even more answers to like what I've learned about myself.
Do you feel like, oh, next up, that's right. Everybody has to do it. Everybody has to do it.
Yeah, we do, huh? yeah, I think Tiana, for me, I'm like very extroverted, right? Because I'm always at comedy shows or like doing open mics or like going to my friends to watch like drag, you know, and I enjoyed not seeing people for a bit, I think. But now it's, I really rely on those social interactions for my, my happiness. And it's finally weighing on me. And it's so, I mean, my family lives in different parts of the country. So I think about them often, but every day I wake up and I'm like, did my brother who lives with my grandma, like, did he have anybody over, you know, or like, or my mom who talked about, she went to the beach and I'm like, first of all, like you're part of the problem. And now I'm worried about your health. It's a double, it's a double whammy. And I think I just need to figure out the best things for me to curb those anxieties. They're like quite amplified, more so than I thought they would be. Cause I'm very lucky. Like I have a backyard, I have a dog who's, you know, you have Jacqueline and I have Narfi, you know?
Right.
I'm in a lucky spot. Like I didn't lose my job, but we got reduced hours, but I can still, you know, afford things. And, but,
I want to talk to you about something. I have this really, really unique gift where I can intuition stuff. So the eyes on you. She's like, oh my God, what are you reading?
I can't tell who you're looking at, Sam.
I'm talking to Sam.
Okay. That's the hard part about Zoom.
It is, because you don't even...
Because you know when you look at somebody in like a conversation and kind of give them the eyes? Sometimes I do that to somebody on Zoom and I'm like, wait, I don't even know if they're looking at my camera right now.
I'm going to say this to you. Don't freak out. But Sam, look at me. I want to see your face. How do I see her?
I'm looking at you.
Okay, cool. Great. I need you to not feel guilty about being somewhat okay.
Yeah, you're right. I've thought of this. I thought about this.
I need you to kind of like relax on that. There's nothing bad about realizing that you have the gift of figuring out a way to build a bit more security than others. But I do think that when you're in that position, it's important to think about how can I encourage others or help people that are open think about those things for themselves so that we can build collective community, so that we can build collective joy in doing something to find ways to support each other or support ourselves in that process. I think that's the great thing that people in this time can do, is that your favor or your blessing might be, I have something where I can relax a bit. And if I care about these two people or these three people in my life, I can help them figure this out with me. We can come together. There's a way to build community and there's a way to build something collective. And if that's what this is now showing us that we need is at each other, embrace that. That's the greatest thing about thinking about what you can do with what you have to help people find their ability to do that, right? Like if you have space to be a resource because there's less stress on the condition of what you're able to maneuver right now, use that as a superpower to support someone else who can.
Or so LSD.
That's an excellent
insight, honestly.
Yeah. You know, like, I think that what Humble Bloom is, what Danielle from Humble Bloom is doing is really, really awesome. She's utilized her ability to create community and to use, you know, use her manifestation abilities to like find like PPE and find resources for people that are incarcerated. On the Tonic side, we were able to launch MediHelp and literally donate over 2,500 bottles of our product to nurses and healthcare workers on the front line. So, you know, there are ways to utilize your somewhat current present day stability without neglecting yourself to give from a place that's full. You know, I use this story and allow me, for people that don't like the Bible, I get it, it's fine. I grew up with the Bible. I grew up Catholic and in Church of God in Christ. I practice an African religion. There's a lot to go with that. That's for another podcast. But I like to give this analogy of Noah's Ark. If anybody here not familiar, I'll give you the story. Noah, was this guy, Old Testament story, Genesis, by the way, if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty, was in this position where God was like, yo, so I'm about to reset the earth because I don't really like what's popping. So I'm about to flood everybody. So I'm kind of rocking with you and these 2x2 animals. So I want you to let them all on this ark. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm rocking with you. So build this ark. So Noah's like, okay, you know, thanks. You know, I feel like I'm doing my shit.
Thanks.
You know, so, but I'm going to tell some people that this is about to go down. And God is like, yeah, I don't really care. You need to focus on this ark and all these animals and your cousins and shit. So Noah's doing that. Everybody's kind of looking at Noah okay, what are you doing? Yeah, Noah's okay, up? So God, who y'all probably can't see or hear like me right now, said yo, he about to reset the earth because he thinks all y'all are trash, but I'm lit. So I'm building this ark and I'm going to make it real dope and big. Maybe you should roll with me. They were like, Noah, God, what? No, we don't know who you're talking to. You sound crazy. Fuck you and your fucking 2x2 animals. So he probably gets all that rejection. He is getting that rejection. Here comes judgment day. God is like, yeah, I'm not fucking with all y'all except Noah and his kin and these 2x2 animals. Boom, boom, flood, flood, gang, gang, right? So flood, you got people, and I've never
heard a Bible story I went gang, gang. I loved it.
No. This is how we can bring back Bible studies and Bible stories, you know what I'm saying? Add slang, little hippity hop. Mm-hmm. So
people it's not are like quite my prerogative, but I'm down.
No problem. I'm tackling in this like water, it's a flood, everybody drowning. And then you have Noah on the ark with these 2x2 animals, which probably include the murder hornets, so we have to be mindful of that too.
Thanks.
They're God's creatures.
They were for plan two. Just in case.
You know, hey. They're murder hornets. They're part of God's family. So, you know, we got this going on. And you got to think about this. You're either in the ocean drowning. That you could be drowning. Your paddleboard can be a conspiracy theory. And that's what you're holding on to because you feel like that'll keep you afloat. You could be just waving in the water, waiting for someone to come save you, which is the scariest thing in the world, which is how I view our vision of this government doing what it needs to do for its people, and it's not. Mm-hmm. That's what I like in that too. You could be in the position of a few of y'all get together, you make some paddleboard, maybe y'all, you know, work it out a little bit, but you know, it's a little shaky, but you're trying, you know, you're trying to figure it out. Or you have this ark and you're Noah and you're on this ark and you're like, okay, I have some rafts. I have some wood. I'm going to throw this out there. Hopefully people can get it. And then I'll, you know, pull them up, right? You know, if Noah had that ability, given the situation that we're in, you could be like that. Or those people who are pulling together plywood to make something to afloat, Noah could be like, hey, do this, do that from the security of this ark. So you have three options. You're either in this water holding on to things that are not going to serve you. And it could even be yourself. You might be their own debt. You might be the dead weight that's pulling you down because you're not able to acquiesce or to figure out what you need to do, which involves facing facts, innerly and outwardly, to manifest change. You could be Noah on this ark, realizing that there's a sense of stability here, and you're going to give what you can physically to pull people on with you that can receive it. Or you see people doing this, there's enough out there in the scrapple of like death, devastation to put together another boat for other folks, and you're helping people put together their boats. So those are the three ways I view this, by using like a pretty well-known, respected, you know, we got folks that are Jewish that know the story and all, we got the Catholics, we got,
yeah, no,
like everybody can like, everybody can play around with that and dispute that if they want. But I'm using that as an example, not to be like showing you how amazing I am from a theological, like remembering the Bible perspective, but I'm using that to be like, look, this is, we're going to be here for a while. I would be blocking the truth and the fact of that, as ugly as it is, and I don't like it, if I were to pretend that it's not happening, and I was just creating a bubble where I want to pretend that this isn't the world that I'm walking into.
Right.
I think that's something I don't want to do for myself. For those that want to do that, I think that's dangerous. So then I now make the other moral choice to not really accept that energy. I think this is a time where you have to figure out who you are, what your place can be, if you're able to give from a full place. And with that, what you want to be able to do, because you care about the world and you care about your friends and you care about your family and you care about community. For those that can't do it, that's okay. But like, I want people to think about, in that moment where you feel like you can't do it, what can you do?
Right.
And that takes a lot of work. You might not be there now. You might be devastated that your job is over. You might be worried about food on the table. I'm worried about people that don't have access to any of those things. Two, and I'm doing what I can, but I also have to admit that I'm one person and I can't. And people are like, I want to do everything, and that's impossible. No one can do everything. Michael Jordan, great basketball player, trash gambler, you know? So
is that going to be featured in his documentary? You guys going to watch that?
Yeah. I've been watching it.
I hear it's really good. I've been watching it.
I want to watch
it. It's really good. Michael Jordan couldn't gamble for shit.
That's so interesting. No, he was a gambler.
Oh my God.
I guess he's got the money to gamble.
Michael Jordan, Bulls, Space Jam. Those are my like basketball champion cartoon movie star.
I'm tall, so all my family told me the only way I was originally going to get out of the hood was playing basketball. So I had to make myself like it. It's cool.
Did you play basketball?
I did. I was really.
It's a really fun sport to play.
I hurt myself a lot because I had to wear glasses. Like
Mary, when did you start wearing glasses? How old were you?
Fifth grade, man.
Okay, me too. Fourth grade. It sucks being a athlete with glasses on.
It's the worst.
It sucks.
And when I gotta ride my bike outside, I'm like,
yeah. I've been doing workouts at home, and every time I do burpees, my glasses fall, and I'm like, fuck, and I have to put my glasses back on.
The kettlebell, the glasses are like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's rough.
We have problems too, America.
I'm sorry, guys.
I can't see for sure. I'm legally blind.
I don't wear glasses, but I feel for you.
Thank you. I will
but
say.
You also want to be cool, so you take your glasses off and you struggle.
Yeah, I feel like I should be arrested if I ever not wear glasses in public or contact. Somebody arrest me, because I will kill somebody with my car. I won't be able to see a goddamn thing. I'll get killed.
You see just as clear with like contacts as your glasses, or is there something better about wearing the
contacts?
Other?
I find are better for me because they're so close. They're on the eye, you know? Mm. So sometimes there's like no distortion.
Also annoying as shit.
Putting them on, taking them off, awful. When they get stuck in your eye, Mary, it gets in the back, and you have to, and you know what you gotta do? You gotta be like a golem and crouch on your sink, and you gotta like open your eye, and you gotta move your eye to the left and the right.
Oh my God.
Imagine trying to do that when you're wasted.
The exercise is like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Then there's always a point where you're just like, all right, this contact is gonna be in my eye. I'm just gonna leave it there.
Damn. The daily struggles. I didn't realize you guys are going through. I'm so sorry. I wasn't there. Yeah. Let me know how I can support you, because that's a lot. I would be complaining about it a lot if I was you guys. So I'm surprised this is the first I've ever heard you say it.
And I don't want to get LASIK because I don't trust that.
I don't trust it either. I'm terrified. One time a doctor told me, he's like, I don't know what the percentage was that he said it worked. He's like, you know, a high percentage, they come out great, but there's a small chance you could just have blurry vision for the rest of your life.
And even glasses wouldn't fix it?
Yeah. Nah, dog. I was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
So put that pamphlet back. I don't want the pamphlet.
That's like that SpongeBob meme. It's like, all right, I'm out. Wait, you say there's even a 1% chance I might have blurred vision forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's all you had to say, bro. Should have started with that. Wasting my time. Why is that in the pamphlet? Like, would have came if I knew that.
Damn. A homegirl with glasses who has been striving is our queen of the week. RVG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Queen of the week. Queen of the week. It's the queen of the week.
Because
she's
currently taking oral arguments on the phone in the hospital.
I love her. I love her dedication.
Yeah.
There are times I just have a slight, I'm going to call in sick tort today.
Yeah. She's like, no, I have an infection in my pancreas. So it's okay. I'll still take notes and take oral arguments.
It's good that they're doing things over the phone and virtually, that she has the opportunity to still be able to do that. It's like one plus sign of that.
Yeah, that it. You know what that is? That's really good.
Silver lining. It's very thin, but.
And since our Supreme Court fucking old, they're all at risk way more than the average person. So they need to do it too.
Oh my God.
Yo, I know. A whole problem maybe for a
she
different
time. She needs to hold on for at least another 5 years, because
here's the thing, I love her, but like, yo
I know, guys.
Why didn't you just leave off it? Why didn't you just leave? Come on, you couldn't let Obama elect somebody or nominate somebody new? Come the fuck on, yo. She's still our queen of the week because of what the current state right now, but like, yeah. You know, homegirl, her little hubris really, she's now everybody was shaking in her boots for. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the dark side of RBG.
I mean, we should be.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I'm interested in talking to people that want to get out of the U.S. So if you hear my voice, hit me up on Instagram. I, with a chronic illness, need to be mindful of this healthcare system. And I need to be mindful of my access to that, which will change. Given how this healthcare system is going through its own financial crisis. You know, right. A lot of the surgeries and things that are not being allowed to happen right now affect the livelihood of hospitals. So, you know, I don't know what's to come with that, but this administration is going to do everything it can, as you can see, to allow the gap and the erasure of the middle class become a permanent fix. And while listening to every financial expert talking about it'll take decades to get better, I believe that. I believe that 100%. And I don't think that as a Black woman, it's going to be safe for me here either. Like, being Black, we're just now used to the fact that like Black people are going to get killed and white men are going to get away with it and white women are going to get away with it that are in positions of power. We're now just used to it. And, you know, like, people say things on social media and it does nothing. And so
that's where a lot of my anxiety this week has really come from. I feel like, I mean, it's something that's always in the background and in the foreground, remembering that I'm a Black woman in America and America doesn't care about me, right? But I feel like there's been an onslaught of things over the last couple of weeks, specifically in the last couple of days, that have just really made me break down. I feel so unsafe. I feel so unsafe for my sister and my nieces and my nephew and my brother-in-law in Texas, just being in that state alone, you know, and it's exhausting. And it's like, it's just a lot to handle sometimes. You know, I get worried about like getting the coronavirus and getting sick and going to the hospital. I'm like, am I going to get adequate treatment? Am I going to have access to adequate treatment? Am I going to go in and say, these are my symptoms and someone's going to ignore me? And I know these things happen because I read about them all the time.
Yeah.
And we know that this virus is affecting people of color so much more. So like, I think all of that is just, it's just like really fucking heavy. And like, I just broke down today when I was, you know, reading more stuff about Ahmaud Arbery and just imagining like my brother-in-law, like all the times I'm FaceTiming with my sister, my brother-in-law walks into the house after going on a run. For those of you who may not be aware, I think it was February 23rd, Aubrey was running through a neighborhood and two white men saw him and assumed that he was a burglary suspect. I guess there may have been I don't know if there had really been break-ins recently, but the dad went inside, told his son, they got into their pickup trucks, like right on fucking racist cue, and grabbed like a shotgun and another handgun, chased them, him and his car as he was running. They said that they were, and the dad was in like the back of the pickup, like the bed of the truck, which is even more scary. It's like, oh wow, like all my racist nightmares I've had my whole entire fucking life. They are yelling at him, we don't want to talk to you, is what they claim. There's no fucking way they were just saying that. But
well, let's pretend
they were just saying, I just want to talk to you. Well, I'm sorry, I live in America and I know what fucking happens when two white men with guns are chasing you in a southern state, let alone, I mean, anywhere, but specifically in a southern state like that, when you're alone and you're, I mean, and being a black man, a fit, strong, probably tall black man, 25 years old, so much more of a, like a threat. It's just, and then basically they fucking shot him, killed him. And nobody, this is in February, like February 20, around 23rd, I think it was. The father used to work as a prosecutor, as an investigator for the police department or something. Like, he was affiliated with the police department. So the first DA recused himself because they said that they used to work together. The next one ended up recusing himself because his mother, I guess that DA's son had worked with the guy who shot Aubrey. But before he did that, he wrote a letter basically saying that there was no evidence that they should arrest the two guys, basically saying that they were committing a citizen's arrest. Well, let's see what he says. Before he relinquished the case, Barnhill argued in a letter that there was no sufficient probable cause to arrest Aubrey's pursuers. In the letter, Barnhill noted that McMichaels was legally carrying their firearms under Georgia's open carry law. He said pursuers were within their rights to pursue what he called a burglary suspect, and cited a state law that states a private citizen person may arrest an offender if the offense is committed in his presence or within his immediate knowledge. He also argued Aubrey attacked Travis McMichael. McMichael was allowed to use deadly force to protect himself under Georgia law.
That is some fucking centuries old racist policy. Fucking citizens arrest.
But it's like, and then of course now they're going out and talking about how like in 2018 he had like a shoplifting conviction, and like he brought a gun where he got cited for carrying a gun when he went to a basketball game or something, like at a high school. It's like, okay, so
open carry state, that
exactly.
The fuck.
I just can't, you know, and like I said, imagining it being my brother-in-law, imagining it's my nephew or my brother or my father. It's like, it's just, it's too much. It's just, the onslaught is too much. And for people to ignore it and for people to pretend it's not real, it's just, sometimes I just can't deal. And today was just one of those days. And like, I just called my aunt and I started crying. Like, it's funny because I was already crying. And when she first answered the phone, she's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, oh, hey, yeah, it's okay. And then she started talking about something. She's like, how are you? I was like, well, actually, I'm just really having a bad day. And just, you know, and it was nice because she was able to accept that and we have similar views. So it was nice to have somebody who was also having really hard days recently with this. But it's just, I'm just like so tired of it. And I'm only 33 years old. So I can only imagine like, you know, what people in their 70s and 80s who've been dealing with this shit forever and ever. And it never gets better. And it just gets worse and more fucking blatant.
Well, we've never gone through this before, though.
Well, that's true. Well, I mean,
I just want to, let's be a little kind to humanity here. Nobody's gone through anything like this that is alive that I know, even if at their oldest. So I think that in general, we just don't really respect life. I think that's the thing. Yeah. And we really don't like Black lives. And we really don't like marginalized people. And this is something that, you know, is rooted before America was even made America, right? So
yes.
There's a lot of that that's part of just like the fabric of white people doing their own work to understand where that privilege and what to do to understand how that power structure has created what we have.
Right.
And being open to like making change. Which I think is what's dope for those that understand that. But that's not Trump's people. I feel like that's Sammy. But that's not Trump's people. And Trump's people are, you know, I'm from Michigan. I'm used to crazy. I'm used to like militia.
Oh my God.
Militia wipes. You know, right. Like that. Not the cool, like, you know, white folks that people like it's, I mean, like white people that understand their privilege and where they can exist and where that means, what that means, that takes someone that's willing to do that work to be like, yo, shit is fucked up. And I acknowledge that. And this is how I want to make change and bring awareness to driving equality. That's not a lot of people, period. Especially people that come from privilege and they don't have to think about that access and even how to manipulate that access into something that can be used for good. That takes a lot of just, I mean, as Black people, we have privilege too.
Right.
Black folks, like, you have a job, you have food on the table, you have this, you have that. That is considered a privilege. And capitalism in general, across all races, all genres, all sexes, is a whole other monster that we really have to admit that we accept more than we talk about how much we don't accept it.
Right.
We're on these Zoom calls with these laptops, with these MacBooks, with our iPhones, on Facebook, on Instagram, ordering delivery, using or being interested in a 60% off sale. Although most sales now are offering 60% off and free head. To get you to buy clothes, you know.
Free head.
Right, you know. They're literally like, hey, buy one, get five free. We will also eat your clit. Like, please buy these clothes.
It's like, what precautions are you taking with COVID in mind for this?
Gap CEO says none. Come like on down, I'll give you a beach.
I want to see that condom and dental dam, please.
This is an unprecedented event, but we have to acknowledge what's already been here before. Racism, sexism, lack of equal access to information, lack of equal access to even be caught up in understanding how to even have broadband. Like, you have kids that have no way to really learn or keep learning.
Right.
You have no real system where everyone can be fed, everyone can be housed, although you have a crazy housing crisis that's now here based off of pricing people out from the revolving housing crisis. Like, we definitely have not learned our lesson. So I think that's part of the story too. You know, these things that are now more amplified existed before.
Yeah.
I will hearken back to the Ark, and while, you know, just because I wanted to just share this information and know what's going on Instagram, but if you're of sound mind and you have the time, to call or email the Liberty County District Attorney. So Tom Durden, so he can press charges on Gregory McMichael and Travis McMichael, who have not been arrested or charged in the investigation. Let's just call it as a murder. So the phone number is 912-876-4151. And we'll probably remind you on Instagram as well. And you can email at T-O-M, so tom.durden, D-U-R-D-E-N, at libertycountyga.com. And call for the arrest and investigation of Gregory McMichael and Travis McMichael.
Can we call this the Tom Durden Show for the title of the podcast?
Maybe. We'll throw it up. We'll throw it up there.
Tom Durden.
I can't promise. Maybe call Tom Durden. That might be.
I mean, I think it'll definitely be in the synopsis.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're gonna put that on the list, Mary. But
yeah. Working title.
Hi, Tom Durden.
hey, Tom. No, but for real, fucking do your job, man. I don't really want to. I have so many other depressing facts, but you know what? I don't want to talk about them anymore because we covered a lot of shit and we had some laughs. We had some real talks. And I think I don't want to bring up anything sad anymore.
I want y'all to be, you know, comfortable and safe.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Ditto.
Ditto. I did want to just remark on that lovely story of the young girl who's writing, like, who's decorating envelopes and writing thank you notes for mail people. Aww. In South Dakota.
That's so sweet. Oh, we forgot to talk about
announcing good news.
The crazy old kook of the week.
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Elon Musk and what he named his son. I say what because I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Okay, Mary, we're going to put it in the chat.
Oh, God.
And you're going to try to pronounce it with us.
Yeah, it's okay? Fucking weird, dude.
And he's a kook because, A, he has an annoying God complex. And just name your child something normal. Get out of here. Who are you? Okay. Okay, so X-A-12-Musk? X-A-12-Musk?
Like what? I think I'd have an idea they're going to call it something else, right? Like Bob, and that's just its name on its birth certificate. Because, right. Well, Grimes, the mom, posted something at trying to explain. Hold on, my internet's being annoying. She like posted something explaining like what the name meant. She said X, the unknown variable, and then she put the emoji of two swords crossing. A-E, my elven spelling of AI, and then she put in
Mary
parentheses.
Mary looks like a bobblehead right now, shaking her head and just.
In the parentheses, she put love and or artificial intelligence. And then A-12 equals the predecessor to SR-17, our favorite aircraft.
Oh, my God.
No weapons, no defenses, just speed. Great and vital, but nonviolent. And plus A equals Archangel, my favorite song.
What the Plus, I threw my favorite song in there. Just in case.
I know.
We talked about some like really crazy stuff, but this is like the most offensive thing I think this week.
This is where I'm detached from the program. I saw that last night on Twitter, and I thought it was some like. I thought it was like some like 4chan shit, and that's what I was like. I disengaged. I just shut off Twitter. I closed my computer. I was like, I don't know what that is. That's one of them Russian. I thought it was a Russian bot attack. That's what I thought it
was. Like, I mean, imagine being like at the hospital and they hand you the birth certificate and it says that. I'd be like, how much meds did we give this woman?
The father also, they both agree on the name. So the woman's just not on an epidural. Okay.
So good luck for that kid. I don't know.
I wonder what they're going to
call him.
I
mean, something tells me Elon Musk's son will be fine. But...
Fair. Like, I just wonder what they're going to call him. That's what I'm... Is it some kind of like... Is that how it's pronounced?
Mary's literally giving us the hand. Like, the eternal hand. She's literally telling us to talk to the hand right now.
I am frustrated by the fact that I thought this was a Russian bot attack. I thought it was the name of a new tunnel that he was building.
That's a good guess.
Not just his legal
just
name.
Just like I originally thought Murder Hornets was the name of an HBCU horn section in a marching band. And then I realized they're Deadly Hornets. Like, why are people so mad about the Oh, this is big. Oh, I thought it was a horn section. Oh.
Imagine being.
I thought it was a viral TikTok video of an HBCU crew playing horns on Zoom. That's literally what I thought. I'm still trying to make fun out of deadly shit now.
I wish for Murder Hornets though. When I first heard about the Murder Hornets, I was like, oh, what are the like? I didn't even care that they were killing humans. When I saw that they were decapitating bees, I was like, no.
They like
the bees.
We need that.
We need the fucking bees.
Just imagine, like, naming them. The scientists were just like, you know, I mean, they're hornets, but they just fucking murder people.
Did you see the murder hornet that killed the mouse?
Oh, I saw, like, I that saw it in like a scroll. Old, I didn't watch
an
it.
An old wives' tale. Did I you saw hear it. The murder mouse? Gather round, children. Come.
You're the murder hornet. You're killing a mouse. You sound like we're on the front porch.
Bitch, this is going to be us in 60 Moomoo. Years. We are going to be telling our kids these stories.
I remember the pandemic of 2020. Everybody was on TikTok.
I got on TikTok. I just watch. Yeah. I'm a voyeur.
I'm a voyeur.
TikTok is, I don't know what to do. Like, I just be like,
I have no interest. It's not, I can't, there's too much social media. I'm not going to,
it's like, talk. It's like more healthy escape for me than like drinking or something. Just TikTok.
Mostly funny, funny vids, right?
Trying to just take my time, you know, and sometimes I got to have those moments where I'm trying to block out, you know, other things and just laugh at somebody's silly dog video or how they're tricking their moms.
I love a dog video. I love a dog video. Oh my God. All right, well, you know, that Mary, was thank you so much.
That was really fun. Yeah. I think
this was a good chat.
Yeah, I feel like there was really some really good insightful moments for me to really kind of process and kind of like, well, I guess what I'm taking away from this is, you know, what can I do for myself? Who am I really, you know, in this new context? And who do I want to be in this new normal that I know won't be here for a long time, but like what I need to do in the space in between to get to what I aspire to be or what I feel, I realize, I guess I have the time now to kind of really focus on what I'm destined to be.
Damn. It's fucking deep.
That was good.
The weed helps, y'all.
Yeah, it does. I think I'm going to make the actual steps to realize I need to figure out my life in this new normal as well, because I'm like, for me, I still have like a semi-trust in government. So I feel like one of my legs is like drowning in the ocean. You know what I mean? And like one of my hand is like, no, I get you, Noah, I'm with you. So I think I just need to figure out what to do to just realize, as you know, I mean, we all know my thoughts on this administration, that our government is no longer in the hands of somebody capable who cares about America. And I need
for a majority of Americans.
Yeah. And I just need to figure out like, fuck, it's going to get worse. This is the new normal. I need to figure out my life and what it's going to be. I can't just be can't be living in this interim and keep waiting for it to change. I got to just figure it out now.
Yeah. We're not in Wizard of Oz. We're not going to wake up and be back on the farm.
Mary, what about you?
Farm sucked anyway.
I'm using this as a way to spiritually enhance my gifts. I'm facing some things about myself and what I want with a man, a life partner. I'm dreaming of a world where I'm okay with realizing that I may need to completely leave this nation in order to make sure that I'm safe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what those things really mean for myself, given that I have to be mindful of what I need, and also mindful of what I have to do to be in order to unlock more of those things. So I'm drawing closer and closer to my ancestors. I'm drawing closer and closer to keeping my health optimal and doing everything I can to make sure that my Oxygen mask is firmly on my face.
Okay. Love that.
Steamy face. I started making smoothies for the first time for that. I'm like, I'm going to need to be optimum health. Like you're saying, I'm a fucking smoothie machine. Oh yeah. Tiana made that juice. I could taste it through the Zoom the other day.
I made a strawberry, carrot, golden beet, grapefruit, turmeric juice.
Sounds amazing.
I love fucking juice.
Wow. You're like juice. Cafe gratitude, except actually legit and not.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe, protect your energy, and don't forget to like, subscribe, follow.
Leave a message. Let us know if you've reached out to Tom Durden. Okay, well, talk to you again, Mary, and
be safe, everyone.
Yeah. Be safe.
You too. Yourselves.
I hope that your family and people that you love in your life are safe and protected during this time.
Thank you.
I wish that to everybody.
Also, everybody should start smoking cannabis because we're going to be here for a while. So,
I mean,
well, it's actually, not a bad idea. Smoking's not really advised right now. I would say get a Levo, make a tincture.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. Yeah. For lungs, like for lung health.
Yeah. I've been trying to smoke less and do more edibles.
I highly recommend Paperboy Paper Co. out of DC. Their tincture is pretty awesome. I also made my own tincture today with the Levo. I tried a little bit before I started work, and I was like, whoa, too much. I had to get some tonic CBD, the OG, in my system, like, to work it out. But yeah, man, like, we're going to be here for a while. So people got to get comfortable with what they need and get comfortable with facing the hard facts and figuring out how they're going to come out of this, man. Yep. We're going to be here for a while. So coming up out of it means at the same time we're doing both.
Hmm. All right, ladies. Nice. Have a good night. Mary T, have a lovely evening.
Miss you all. Missing you in person.